The Free Library of Philadelphia is proud to present a podcast from our award-winning author events series, recorded live at the Parkway Central Library on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. To learn more about the Free Library, our unique and inspiring collections, and how your contribution can help our programs and services for the community, please visit freelibrary.org.
My name is State Representative Jordan Harris. I represent the 100... Charlie Mack, ladies and gentlemen, in the building. That's my man, Charlie Mack, in the building. Whoa, whoa, whoa! I don't think he should have got a louder clap. Then I'm not feeling that. I'm Representative. You stupid. I serve in the 186th district, which is parts of South and Southwest Philadelphia. But I am also the Democratic Whip in the Pennsylvania House of Representatives. Appreciate that. I am proud to be here with you tonight on behalf of the Free Library. You know, the library is dedicated to advancing literacy, guided learning, and inspiring curiosity for all Philadelphians. From its free drum workshop to its youth poet laureate program to its annual job fair, a vital component of a robust democracy, the library is one of our most important civic institutions. Please consider making a gift that will help the library continue its critical work. That means give it some money. Like, that's the professional way to say it. I think they might got Cash App, Apple Pay. If they don't, y'all need to get Apple Pay and Cash App Library. That's easier. Anyway, I am thrilled to introduce this evening's special guests, Joseph Rev Run and Justine Simmons. As you all know, Rev Run is, of course, familiar to all of us as the front man for the mega influential hip hop trio Run DMC. Regarded as the driving force behind ushering rap into mainstream, the group was awarded a Grammy's Lifetime Achievement Award and inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Rev is also a husband of Justine Simmons, the co-star of their popular reality show, Run's House. Together, Justine and Rev are the co-authors of Take Back Your Family, a challenge to America's parents. This long married couple knows one thing about love. It's tricky. And in their new book, Old School Love, they share the secrets and principles that have helped keep them together for a quarter century. Tonight, they will be joined in conversation by longtime broadcaster and journalist Tracy Mattisack. I was talking to Tracy backstage. I remember Your World when you was a kid, the little 1 minute segment with Tracy Mattisack. That's how I remember her. That's what was not part of my childhood. Anyway, never mind. Okay. Having some fun tonight. It's going to be a good time. But without further ado, please join me in welcoming Rev Run, Justine Simmons, and Tracy Mattisack to the Free Library of Philadelphia.
Check, check. Check, 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 check.
Microphone.
Mine's not on.
Yours ain't on? I'll take yours. Now it's on.
Microphone.
I got the
check.
Gold. Oh, hello, hello.
Check 1, 2.
1, 2.
You don't want me to spit.
Whose house? Well, thank you all for coming tonight. We're so glad to see so many of you here. We're delighted to have Rev Run and Justine with us. And the way that these usually work is that the three of us will chat for about a half an hour or so, but you all should have gotten cards on your way in. So if you have questions, you can write those down and we'll make sure. I know we've collected a bunch of them already, but you can wave your card and we'll get it if you still have a question, and we'll get through as many of those as we can. So with all of that said, what do you say we get started?
Okay.
The book is called Old School Love and Why It Works. And so the question is, why this book and why now?
The book, for the reason that people kept asking us. And so it wasn't like we had time. We were doing television shows. We were doing the Run's House, and then we were doing the renovation, and then we did the cooking show. So people would ask us over time as we walked through the streets, you guys need to be in conversation. You guys need to do a book. And we didn't have time. So when we did All About the Washington, our TV show on Netflix, and then we did one season and it got pushed to the side. We said, okay, now it's time. Mm-hmm. So the reason why we did it is because of popular demand, basically. It wasn't something that we thought about, but people kept asking us for it.
Yeah. So, Justine, how did you two meet?
Okay. This makes him very shy.
Tell a story.
Okay, so me and my girlfriends, we were going to a roller skating rink, and Curtis Blow was supposed to perform at the roller skating rink, and he was just the son of Curtis Blow, and Curtis Blow brought him out. He did his, you know, thing just in his one spot, not crazy like he does.
I was 15 years old.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, so they could see the growth. And so after they whisked him to the back after it was over, and I was just like, oh my goodness, he was cute. And I was like, all right. So I knocked on the door where they took him toward the back, and I was like, can I have the autograph of the guy who's with Curtis Blow but not Curtis Blow? Had to make it plain. So he comes out, and it's me, my two girls, and we ask for his autograph. He signs one. He tongue kisses her.
What?
Yeah, right away.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, I know. Then my second girlfriend gets her autograph. Tongue kisses her too. Uh-huh, Reverend. So then it's my turn, and of course you would think she's not going to have that happen to her. And I did. He kissed me too. But he says he had bad... God, what you had? What you had? Bad what?
I had bad mentorship.
Now, you guys know celebrities are not walking around tongue kissing.
Come on.
What's the... What,
you're embarrassing me.
Okay, sorry. Okay, so anyway, of course, I wasn't finished because they still whisked him to the back because it was like a club in the back, but we were too young, but he had to perform with Curtis Blow there. So I see the lady who sells hot dogs and stuff, and in the back, you can see that it goes to that back where he was. So I wrote on the flyers, I was the girl in the blue, like he remembered, and my name is Justine, and... That's it. And I told the lady, can you please give this to the guy with Curtis Blow? Not Curtis Blow.
But not Curtis Blow.
And sure enough, the next day, my stepmother was like, Justine, somebody named Joe called.
Wow.
And we fell in love over the phone.
Still not working. Okay. So then you guys kind of lost touch with each other for a while.
Yeah.
And then how did you...
Because she lived in Long Island and I lived in Queens. And that's like being from Dagon, from here to Yugoslavia or something. Because it's like, you know, I'm not driving. I'm 15 years old. So we talked on the phone for a little while.
We did go to movies.
We went to the movies one time. And it just kind of faded away. And then, you know, as time went on, I became Run from Run DMC. And every once in a while, you know, you would think about old schoolmates or old girlfriends that was almost girlfriends, like, I wonder if they know I'm on my own. I'm not with Curtis Blow no more. That goes through your mind. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as Run DMC kept going, my cousin Pep, he went to Long Island to become a security guard. So he was at a school, and he was bragging like cousins do, like, my cousin is Run. But her sister went to that school. And she like, so? My sister used to go and Run.
She ain't look like that.
I know she did that. So my sister used to go and Run. So he came home and said, did you know a girl named Justine? I was like, yeah, because I had already been through.
That?
So, yeah.
What
so.
What you do that again, because I missed.
So.
Pep said, do you know
to me,
this girl?
Peppy said to me, do you know this girl named Justine? I said.
Just do a double. I wanted to echo. Come on, baby.
I said, yes. I said, get her phone number.
Woo-hoo! Good.
So I called her, and now we're sitting here getting ready to sign some books. That's all I can tell you. We got back together.
So you got back together. And you wrote in the book about how things have a way of coming back to you.
Yes.
In the way that Justine.
Yeah, well, years ago there was this big house. Like Hollis
no,
was
tell,
here. No,
tell,
no, I'm
talking. No,
no,
tell our.
I'm tell the both stories.
No,
now we got that together.
Tell our.
This is
our,
unfair.
Tell our book. I mean, tell her our situation first.
Okay,
how
so.
How you used to write.
But it was two situations.
I know,
like,
but do that.
All right, so I wrote a letter to her that we will get married one day. And when I got back with her, she still had pictures of me and the letter. So then there was also a situation where I wrote a letter to this house, because I lived in Hollis, and up the block was this place. It wasn't up the block. It was kind of far away, but not too far. It is part of Queens, a place called Jamaica Estates. And it was this big house that sat on the corner. And this house was owned by somebody who owned the store. It was a chain of stores called the Corvettes. It was almost like Woolworth.
Oh, yes.
So it was this big, beautiful house that every Mother's Day, all these beautiful flowers would come out. And it was just like, it was a mind-blowing home, far-fetched from the houses the way they looked in Hollis, Queens. So people would go by and see it sat right on the highway. So one day I said, you know what, I'm going to write a letter. So I wrote a letter to the owner.
How old were you?
I was probably around the time I was with you, 14, 15 years old. I wrote, one day I will, dear sir, one day I will buy this house. And I gave him the letter, went on about my business. I probably put it under the door or something. So when he passed years later, and I, you know, I had a little paper in my pocket at this time, one of his kids called, said, my father passed, and he saved this letter. And he said, you would buy this house one day. And I brought the house, and I moved in with the same girl that I wrote that letter to. So the Bible says, write it on a piece of paper and make it plain. So those two things that were written, it didn't happen. It says it will tell the truth. It will not lie.
Yeah.
So these letters that I wrote, she came back, and the house came back, and we moved in that house in Queens. Then
wow.
We moved out of it after a while, but still, those prayers, those words that you write down have their way of making their way back to your life. So everybody go home and write something down.
Yeah. Make it plain. Right?
Make it plain.
So, Rev. Run, you share in the book, of course, about this epiphany that you had when you were in a luxury hotel. You're at the peak of your career.
Yeah.
What happened?
So, years ago, Run DMC was out on the road, and we went to Los Angeles, California, and we used to go there often. So this time I was on fire. This was 86 when Raising Hell came out and Peter Piper and My Adidas and Walk This Way and all these records. And I was hot. And I was like, when I get there, I want the best room. I want the best weed. I want the best, you know, car. I want everything. So I got to my room. And I had to rush to hurry up and get the room, make sure LL didn't get it or nobody. I want the presidential suite. There's only one presidential suite in the hotel. So I had to fight to get all these things with my lust for greed and being the king of rap. So I got myself to the room, and I had Rolling Stone magazine coming to interview me. I had a dude named Quasi. He used to rent these cars. So everybody I got in the tub, because I wanted everything at once. This is like complete gluttony. I called downstairs, said, I want some French toast. The weed guy came, he brought me the weed. And the Rolling Stone was knocking on the door. This girl was knocking on the door too. And this is all, my life is like spinning out of control. So I'm in the tub, smoking the weed, eating the French toast, Rolling Stone magazines at the door, and all this craziness all came to me, and it came down on me. And at that moment, I just started crying, because my top was my bottom. Because God had given me so much success, but he let me experience it in a way that he knew that he could take you down and make you come to him, or he could take you up and make you come to him. So at that point, I almost started sabotaging myself, because I had what somebody would call everything, but it wasn't everything. There's this empty spot that'll be in your life without God. So I got out the tub, I did my little interview, and from that moment on, I started seeking God. So that's the guy that you saw on the show Run's House is the guy that was after the tub. That was that Run was after tub.
Yeah.
After weed.
Post-tub.
After French toast and the syrup falling in the tub and the ashes from the weed falling in the tub and Rolling Stone magazine being at the door and the guy with the car with the keys, he had the Rolls Royce and all that craziness. So, yeah, so that's the story, is that it's okay to have things, but don't let things have you. That's the moral to the story. So God didn't make me take a vow of poverty, but he just wanted me to get centered, and he takes people down different. That was my Damascus road. Yeah. If anybody know what that is, Paul was walking on Damascus road. You don't want me to preach up in here. And God,
we're about to have church.
And God came to him and knocked him off his horse. Yeah. And began to speak to him. So my horse was knocked out of that damn tub. Yeah. And that's when my life began to transform. And next thing you know, I went to church and I became...
And he got the biggest Bible he could find.
When I went to church, yeah. Because I didn't realize no matter what size the Bible was, I had the biggest one. It's still Genesis to Revelation.
You had the coffee table version.
Yeah, exactly. That's okay. The grandma's.
Yeah. So it's one thing to have that epiphany and then to begin to, you know, pursue God and maybe take a different path, but it's another thing then to become a reverend, and you're right about going from rapper to reverend. How did that happen?
I didn't go to if you know the black church, you don't just go to church. You're going to be an usher. You're going to be on the choir. You're going to cook some food. You're not going to just go and sit. So I didn't understand that about the black church. I got there, and I became a, right away, I was an usher. So you got Run from Run DMC being an usher, and I remember ushering some old lady and her grandson to the chair. And the grandson, because she's trying to get him away from rap and stuff, and here I am in a suit. She's like, Grandma, that's for you. I ain't no damn Ron DMC. Shut up, sit down in this chair. And I looked at him. He sat in the chair because he was going with his grandson. And he looked at him, and I was like, that's me. I'm the usher now. So I went from an usher to what they called in the church the walking deacon. I didn't mean to become the walking deacon. I just came to be in church. But you're going to be something in the black church. You're going to have an office.
Even Perry was a deacon.
But I was so dedicated to the church that they ended up wrapping that collar around my neck. Because each way, step of the way, they offered me a different position. I ended up going from Run to Rev Run.
With a lot of studies.
Without a focus about opening a church so people would see me with the collar. I was so proud of over the years and the teachings and the being, you know, going from next level to next level in the church, that by the time you saw me on Run's house, I was proud, so I would show, I got a collar. People were probably still looking for my church. Now I don't got a church. Right. My church ended up being MTV. That was my pulpit. God has different ways to pull in different people. Every reverend or every different person that's teaching, evangelist, pastor, preacher, prophet, whatever, has a different way of catching people. My way was through being on MTV and through, you know, doing things like this and books and still being an entertainer. Yeah. And one day God came to me and told me, you know what, you're going to have to make a choice today. You can either continue, this is a good story, to go in the direction you're going as an entertainer, or you can make sure that you take care of your family. And he gave me that choice. So I said, okay, I think if I keep pushing to become this rapper, God's going to be mad. So what I did, and God's funny like this, so I grabbed her hand on that. He said, you got a 24-hour period to show me what you're going to do. So all these calls were coming in for some entertainment stuff. And I turned my phone off because I seen what was going on. I seen what God, the dream he gave me. And I grabbed her hand and I just walked around the mall with her all day, basically in my mind saying, see, God, this is my choice. See, God, this is my choice. And what he did after that was, he said, now, it was almost like Solomon, now I will give you both. You will be on MTV with your family, and you will still be an entertainer. You have made the right choice, but I'm not going to take away. And the same thing he did to Solomon. Solomon was like, I don't want money. I just want wisdom, right? That's what Solomon said. God said, I'm going to give you that, and you're going to be the richest dude in the world.
Yeah.
So when I made the choice to just say, we will figure out what my career is, but I know that what I need to be doing is to be a dedicated family man. And that's when he gave me the whole show on MTV, and I was the rapping reverend on television that still had a career.
Yeah.
God will do that.
Yeah. Justine, each chapter in the book begins with a scripture verse. Why was it important to you all to make sure that scripture was prominently featured in the book?
Well, each scripture Joey chose for each of the chapters of the book, so he can tell you more why he picked those certain
the
ones.
The certain scriptures. Because the Bible says, don't go to bed angry. Yeah. So I was like, okay, that should be a scripture in the book. So each time there was a situation that would come up, I was like, you know what? Let me break it down for people that understand the Bible, different scriptures that fit each different thing.
And about that scripture, you know, to me it was kind of cliche growing up. Don't go to bed angry. But we realized really what that is the more you could go to bed angry, the more you will do it. And the longer you can do it. So that one day can turn into 2 days. And that's why if Joey and I argue and get upset, we don't let it linger, because the longer you can get mad at somebody, the longer you can make it. Yeah. You understand? So that's really, really important to know. And if you think about it, you're going to stay together forever. So why keep that anger going? Yeah. And anger becomes resentment.
Yeah.
Right, and another scripture I talk about is, how can two stay together lest they agree?
Yeah.
And that is, you know, there's a saying that I like, love is not so much just sitting here looking in each other's eyes. Love is looking in the same direction. Mm-hmm. And when you are, if you're not looking in the same direction, we make sure that we stay on the same page.
Yeah.
Like one of the book signings, she was mad at me at the end because she was really having fun and rapping and being silly and all this stuff, and I was being really serious. And this was like probably the first signing. And she got...
How would you act it?
And she was like, the J is for... She was rapping it. And I, the more she did that, the more I got, you know, reverently. So she got in the car and she was pissed. And I said, what's up? It was good. She said, I need a minute. I was like, uh-oh. So I gave her that minute, and she said, I need another minute. So we sat, and she listened to my point of view. I listened to her point of view. Not only did we not go to bed angry, on the 45-minute ride home, we had talked it out.
And yelled a little.
Yeah, a little arguing. But we got it done. Yeah. And I kept pushing to understand. You know, the vibe I was on, I didn't know how I should handle. This was the very first or second one we did. So the point is, you know, you have to be on the same page. And I find out what keeps our marriage together is the same spirit. This is a true story that was on us when we were getting married, when we were courting each other, is the same exact spirit that looms over us now. We still have the same hopes and desires for the future, the same thing. So what it is when you start seeing things changing in your partner and you're not feeling the same way, you have to go back and fix that.
Right.
And I can tell you the truth.
Right away.
I mean, we're probably blessed, lucky in love or something. I don't know. So I'm not going to say that this is easy. But at this point of our life, we are, it's the same vibes.
But it's because we work at it.
Yeah, that's why we wrote the book.
And, yeah.
But yeah, it probably has a lot to do with that. It's hard for me to take credit for something that feels so good, so right, and it's just, we are in the same mind space as our honeymoon.
Yeah, but a lot of people also don't realize, they see red flags.
Mm-hmm. Come on, preach.
But they still go with it, or they think, when I marry him or marry her, it'll get better.
Right.
It'll get worse. So check those red flags.
Yeah.
And another thing that's in the book, I don't know if you were going to get to this, but it bothers me a lot. It's about blending families.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Joey and I blended our families together, and it was great. But what I don't like is when you blend a family and that other person is not accepting your child, and you let them. So if they love you, they will love your child. And if they don't, you should not be with them.
You guys write in the book that no one escapes suffering, and that it may look different for different people, but in the end,
rich,
you
poor,
know,
whoever,
you're gonna suffer. That suffering is inevitable. And as I read that, I was thinking about your daughter, Victoria Ann, who passed away shortly after birth in 2006. And just wondering how you all processed that as a couple. I mean, you let us in on it to a degree in the show, because it was an episode of the show, but there in a room this size, there is probably someone who is struggling with a very difficult life situation, and I'm wondering what you might offer them in terms of how you process that situation.
Well, believe it or not, I carried her full term, mm-hmm. and God let me know that the situation wasn't really about me. It was about other people. Mm-hmm. So that's why I had to show it, because they asked, do you want to? And, mm-hmm. and you know, my husband was like, you don't have to. But it wasn't about me. It was yeah. other people.
Yeah, because people had us up on this high pedestal because of Run's house. And I guess God wanted to show that we can suffer just like you.
Right.
And even Jeremy said that, our producer, he said when he saw that, he was dealing with some stuff with his father's a producer on one of our TV shows. He said when he saw that, he realized this beautiful life that's on Run's house, mm. also they go through things.
Mm. Yeah. That's deep.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people also don't know that I originally, that time, wanted to adopt.
True.
And Joey said,
why don't we just have a baby? Like I make babies and not knowing God does.
Right.
Why do we need to do that?
So
God showed me.
Yeah. And he said, when it didn't happen, he said,
bing.
God showed him.
So she was in the hospital crying and going through hell. And I was like, and she'll tell you what happened after. I said, Jess, I don't say it like that. I was like, baby, we should probably adopt.
And it showed him that he doesn't make babies, God does.
But I was lucky. I had, you know, thought I could just do this.
Anyway. Anyway, so.
Thought I was in charge. Just have a baby. It's the big deal. Until he showed me. But anyway, that's God for you.
And so when I got home, I was, you know, so tore up, stayed under the covers, and it was amazing that God brought the whole adoption option
that's what we call
back
it.
To him.
Yes.
And he said to me, Jess, why don't we adopt? And literally, everything just fell off. I jumped up. I was like, where's my laptop? I started going online, and if I tell you, if there's anybody in here or was thinking of adopting because maybe they can't have children, trust me, it's the best thing you can do.
It's a weird thing.
You don't know the difference. Let me tell you a story. Somebody said to me, wow, your daughter's so tall. And I forgot. I was just like, "What? You know what? My husband's brother, Danny is tall.
Right there.
And then I had... And I was just like, wait a minute, I'm bugging out.
Miley's not our blood, but she actually said it. But the funny thing is, as a man, you think, I don't know why women think, was like, there's no way that somebody that's not your blood is going to feel the same. But I found out, because that's why I didn't want to adopt. I didn't understand. I was just ignorant. And once we adopted, I do not know the difference. I know, it's almost like the Martin Luther King, I know by character. Like whoever, who's my favorite? Whoever ain't acting an ass today. So,
and all the parents in the house said amen.
My
right?
favorite who is ever is being good. So, Miley is just like Diggy's, just like Vanessa, just like Angela's. Who's my favorite? It's whoever.
Yeah.
So, that's the bottom line. And you just will not, and you probably won't believe me, if you adopted, you would not know the difference between your blood and not you, because your heart just wants to love. And this baby came in my house, and she was cute, and my baby girl, and I love her. And to this day, if she acts bad, then she's in trouble. And if, you know, if Russie or well, they're grown now, but during that time, like whoever it is the, you know, the flavor of the day that want to be bad is the person that's in the doghouse.
Yeah. Well, we got to know your children a little bit through the show, so catch us up on what everybody's doing these days.
Oh, they everywhere. Well, okay, they probably know Diggy's on Grownish.
Yeah, Diggy's
that's
on.
That's the spinoff of Black-ish.
Mm-hmm. And he moved.
He moved to L.A. recently. Perry's fault. Oh, there's Perry right there. He nagged
you me. Probably did tell him he should move out.
No, but you nagged Perry to get the show.
Yeah. Okay, but I didn't nag Perry
it's
to tell
him. It's not time to family business here. Okay, move on. So Diggy moved. He's in L.A. and doing Grown-ish. Angela created a series called Growing Up Hip Hop. Mm-hmm. And everybody got a job out of that because Angela's a beast in these streets. You know, she got the
series. So right now, Vanessa, Angela, and JoJo are in LA
filming because Angela created this series. She's executive producer. And I got Growing Up Hip Hop, New York, Growing Up Hip Hop, LA, Growing Up Hip Hop, Atlanta. Yeah. It's a big deal.
And Rusty's writing.
Rusty's a writer.
And Miley just wants to hurry up and move out. But she can sing. Yeah.
Wow. Well, we feel like we know them because we watch them grow up on the show.
She bugs out when she's in the airport. People go, "Is that Miley?" She's like, "I remember her when she was little."
Wow. So, Justine, this question is for you. You write in the book about being an independent woman, a person in your own right, and not being in your husband's shadow. And I wonder how you balance your own independence with also wanting to be a supportive wife, wanting to, you know, follow what Scripture says about that. So how do you sort of navigate the balance between being independent but also being supportive?
Well, fortunately, the jobs that I've had beside the jewelry, we did it together. We do like to work together.
I love working with her, so that's why we're here.
Yeah, a lot of jobs we did together, so it's a little different for me. But the jewelry, you know, I did on my own, but he supported me a lot. And, you know, there's a fine line for, okay, a lot of women, we have to be strong, okay? Because either we are single mothers or maybe that person is not doing all they have to. So we have a strength, or we saw our mothers have to be so strong. So it's kind of like, I have a friend, and it's kind of hard for her to step back and chill a little bit because she has a boyfriend now. And he's a man's man, and she's like a sergeant. And so, like I told her, I don't have to be all in his face like that to get my point across.
That's for sure.
But I
just said, I'm in check. I do what I've told. I know the key to marriage. I mean, the Bible talks about, you know, a woman, you know, being down with the husband, but then it also talks about a husband, you have to be this way to your wife. Right. That scripture, people get confused when they say
submissive.
But they don't read enough of the scripture. Because right after it says, ye also husbands. Don't forget about the next part of that scripture. So we have an understanding.
She
lets me
well,
be who I want to be.
Yeah.
I'm the head, she's the neck that turns the head. You know, I'm the head, she's the crown. So it's like I don't feel the need to, I feel that, truthfully, I feel the need to make sure she's happy. So based on that, she don't have to push too hard because I'm busy trying to figure out how can this, you know, you ever heard, if mama ain't happy, the house ain't happy, you ever heard that? I know that instinctively, intuitively, to make sure that she's happy. So somebody might think.
They do.
That she saw.
People think I'm like a damsel in distress.
No, it's far from it.
Because.
She says she don't feel that way. Well, some people might think it, but it's not real in my house.
Yeah. Really, Perry?
Yeah.
Like my brother Danny text her today. Like, should we be coming? And I text you back. Remember, Danny, you text her because you know who the boss is. And I looked at her and she said, I said, okay, I'll text Danny back. But see, people know the pecking order is her first. So I'm just, you know.
Danny, don't laugh at that.
He knows.
All right, so two quick... Who knows? So two quick questions, and then we'll take questions from our audience. One is that you guys are writing this book at a time when statistics are saying that something like 50% of marriages end in divorce, that in the church it is at least that bad, and some statistics say even worse. I wonder what you make of that, and where we're going wrong, and how did we get there?
I don't want to take masterful authority and say, but I will say this. I notice that the Bible is a book that if it's followed correctly, you can master all facets of life. And when we say old school love, what we mean is old school principles. And those old school principles, if you notice, you say we're at a time. see, where things are falling apart. Mm-hmm. But that means there was a time where it wasn't as bad.
Right.
That was probably olden days in the old school principles. Right. So I call love, there's many chapters in this book. There's like messy love, this love, that love, all these different loves. I call it responsible love. Mm-hmm. And if you're not a responsible human being to your mate, you're not going to have a marriage. So if I feel like I want to go hang, which I don't want to often, I'm going to make sure she's happy. I'm like asking a tent, like, I'm going to go over my man Tracy's house. Are you good? And I keep asking until I feel she wants me to be out.
Like, go. Not that go she, ahead, babe. Go.
When I feel, have fun.
Go,
I wait for that, though.
Yeah.
But that's not like I'm in trouble, but I just wait for the peace.
Right.
I want her to be at peace. And if she's not at peace, personally, this is just me, the way I operate, I don't want to go. You know, I want to be there and go do something that's with the boys or with the guys if I feel she's okay, not even okay with it, that she's happy for it to happen.
Right.
And so sometimes she's like, one time somebody was going to Miami to go look at some, they was going to a boat show or something, and she overheard it, and she's so kind, and she knew it was a date, a trip for 2-3 days. Mm-hmm. She's like, Joey, I heard them talking about they're going to a boat show. Make sure you ask. So that's the love.
Yeah.
She's asked. She's catching things and trying to set me up to go have fun.
Yeah.
But that's also because, another subject, we don't cheat. She has the code to my phone, you know. And the thing about cheating, I'm going to just say really quick before we move on.
It's an easy one.
This is going to be the most simplest thing about cheating you'll ever hear in your life. It's a quick, short statement. If you want to cheat, you shouldn't get in a relationship. You're already free. You're free when you meet the girl. So you're like, don't lock her in prison called we're together. You're already free to have as many girls as you want. You can go on speed dating for all you want.
Right.
So cheating is a very simple thing. You want to cheat? Stay single. Now you're not even
officially
cheating.
And just tell that person. And you just tell that person, this is how you're doing it and you're dating. And then nobody gets hurt.
So don't put somebody in that place where they're home waiting on your texts and all this, because if you tell them at the beginning,
that's a red flag.
I'm just checking it out. I'm just finding out where I'm going to be in life. So that's the thing with cheating. So, you know, there's none of that in my household, not even nearly. You know, I won't even get on. You're too pretty. I'm not even getting on the elevator with your ass. Like, really? I'm like, go ahead. I'll take. Right. Of course you have, Charlie.
Yeah.
I'm not getting on the elevator. Cause the Bible says shun the mere appearance of evil. I'm not saying the lady was evil, but it ain't right for me. So, you know, that's a thing that's out of our world.
Yeah.
That stuff is not even in our house. So, you know, these things keep our marriage lovely. It gives less aggravation and less problems with the way we treat each other, the way we operate.
So you may have already answered my last question, which was, if you had one piece of marriage advice that you would want to share with our audience, what would it be?
Mine would be, don't be selfish, be selfless.
That's good.
Okay.
And that's very good. That's everything, truthfully.
Yeah.
That's the point. Mine will be back to the thing I just said a minute ago. Love is grown folks' business. You have to be very responsible with love. We're proactively worried about if the other person's happy.
Right.
Like, that's
at
it.
At home.
Proactive.
I'm constantly seeing, is he happy?
And I'm constantly saying, is he happy? How can too much, besides for petty arguments, happen if all day you're trying to make sure you good? Like, something happened at the house the other day, and I was like, why would you say that to me? I went and I did this, and I did this, and I, because I'm proactively hoping that by the time she got up at 9 a.m. another morning, that I had done a list of things for her. This is just my heart.
Yeah.
My heart wanted to see that she's going to be proud of what I'm doing. So imagine two people doing that all day long, looking at each other, and you can't lose respect for one another.
Yeah.
You know, you got to, you know, lift up the toilet seat, put the damn toilet seat back down. No, seriously.
Amen.
It's the small things.
Thank you.
Thank you again. That problem.
Yeah. But you're talking about agape,
small
right?
Things.
You before me.
Small things add up.
Huh?
You're talking about agape, right? You before me.
Yeah, agape. Right? That's what it is. It's
bottom
definitely
line.
Her before me.
And just to let you know, it's God, then us, and then our children. It's in the book. I know we gotta go.
Yeah.
But
okay. Well, that is a good note to start our audience questions on. Thank you, Andy. So
thanks, Andy.
Let's see what we have here. All right. Does music inform your spiritual life?
Does music? Mm-hmm. Everything. Music's everything in my spiritual life. In 1 minute, I will turn on not only some gospel music, but some cool out music. You know, okay. All through the Bible, you'll see the king or somebody get upset. He's like, bring on the harps because I need to cool out. Yeah. So my Sade, Kenny G, anything soft. You think I'm listening to daggone Run DMC or Young Thug all day? I'm not.
Yeah, the other day something came on and he turned it. And I was like, why'd you do that? He was like, I must be getting old or something because this stuff is driving me crazy.
You know you're getting old when you got to turn down the music in the car to back in. Hold on, turn this down. Joe. Like the music is stopping you from backing up. Turn this damn music down.
I'm just going to say I resemble that remark.
That's
I totally
real.
Get it. Totally
shame.
Get it. How do you keep the media out of your marriage?
We ain't in it. We don't. Listen, we're doing a book tour now. I'm very selective about what I'm going to do. And this is very important. We did all the different media things. But we're not clout chasers. We're happy within each other, within ourselves. So, you know, if TMZ's coming on this side of the street, I'll go to the other side of the street. I'm not trying to have anything or anybody in the midst of my marriage. Yeah. It's too important. The peace in my marriage is too important to be spreading it with the world. I enjoyed God putting us on television, in the reality show.
Yeah.
I'm giving as much as I can, but I don't need somebody else trying to interpret it their way
on
Channel 7 News.
A lot of things he turned down when we had Run's house because he knew it could just explode to other things.
And hurt
things.
Us. Yeah. And hurt us.
Yeah. What advice would you give your 20-year-old selves?
You know, I hear people say this. I probably would be more like my brother Danny and did a little bit more real estate, but that's about it. Other than going into real estate and understanding that, everything else was growing lessons. You know, just everything else. I'm happy. I wouldn't have became the Rev if I wasn't sitting in the tub smoking weed, eating French toast. So sometimes these ways that you go, you have to go in order to be taught.
Yeah.
For me, I would say maybe I probably would have went to college or something.
Okay. And sort of related to that is a question that says, what advice would you give mentors to educate youth in this generation about love?
You know, it's hard for me to say how a mentor would teach. It reminds me of Michael Jordan. You know, he never taught you how to play basketball. He dunked backwards and you want to do it too. So you have to show it more than tell it. Run's house was my way or our way of showing you a life. So that
we
was.
We didn't put church on the TV.
Yeah, so
we never did.
We just put our life.
Yeah.
You put
yeah.
your life in
show
front of the
by
kid.
Example.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see here. I'll save that one for last. All right, this is a question about music. I'm hoping that I'm getting the context of this right, but it says, for today's generation of music versus walk this way, do you think the comparison of lyrics impact the love, togetherness, and or divorce? Not sure that I
understand.
Yeah, I might need a little more context around that.
I think what they're trying
question.
To say is
the lyrics too crazy compared to back
the
then?
The music that is now, is it more promoting divorce than before?
I guess probably is. You know, it's a little wilder. But then the joke is when Run DMC came, people was like, you don't sound like Marvin Gaye, and that was softer. Mm. So I was hard compared to what was going on. So what I do is, you know, I believe if Tupac was here, he'd be the Reverend Tupac by now. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter where you start. It matters where God leads you. So I don't really judge these young rap stars because they wear their crosses, they talk their ish just like I did.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, they'll be teaching a class on what not to do. Like my
Kanye.
Man Perry here is a real gangster. Perry right here been working with me forever.
But he goes,
I'm just keeping it real. But he goes out and he speaks now. He's churned his whole life for us, Deacon Perry. but he wasn't always that.
Sure.
So you can't judge a Perry or a Danny from where they've been. You have to judge them from where they go.
Yeah.
So, you know, between these two guys here, who've both, you know, been through some ish, they're very good at what they do now.
Yeah.
So you have to sometimes go through. How can you teach somebody what not to do until you did it and realize it was wrong?
Yeah. Hey, speaking of Walk This Way, many of us saw you on the Grammys just a few weeks ago for the reunion with Aerosmith, which was really exciting. How was that for you, especially given what a difficult day that ended up being for all of us?
First of all, I got a call 2-3 weeks before, and I was scared. I'm like, oh, jeez, I got to go in front of all these people and do this record. I ain't seen these cats forever. You know, and I called Charlie Mack right there. I'm like, yo, I'm scared. And I told everybody, I'm nervous. They're like, why would you be nervous? You run, man. You're going to rock the house. So that's number one. I was nervous up to the moment I broke that wall and came on the stage, just because I love to do a good job.
Yeah.
And I didn't get the rehearsals that I liked and make it perfect. And nobody cared about rehearsals more than me because I'm crazy. I'm run. I want things to be perfect. But it worked out. People cheered. We worked out. When I was in the dressing room waiting for my first half rehearsal that they gave me, I got the news about Kobe.
Yeah.
It shocked me. It shocked the whole Staples Center. And, you know, my mind went straight to, okay. And she reminded me of this later, too. We're in the Staples Center. This is where Kobe played. He loved music. So maybe I can trick myself to believe that we're all here in his house performing for him.
Yeah.
So that helped me through that.
Yeah.
I was made it more of, this is for you, Kobe. And then he held up the shirt.
That it was all God's plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And did you guys do a little bit of work with Kobe at one point?
Yeah, uh-huh. Did you connect that meeting, Charlie? So Charlie Mack was very, very close to Kobe Bryant. So we were in Los Angeles, and Charlie brought Kobe over to us to start to record a record. We hung out all night, took
this
pictures.
Years ago?
Picked up, yeah. Right.
When he first got his Adidas deal.
When he first got his Adidas deal.
He should remake the record.
Oh, that's what he's going to do, remake. See, he knows better than me. So we sat around, played around a little bit. We never finished the record, and then we went about our own business, and we never finished it. But we did have an initial meeting with Kobe Bryant to make a record about, and I didn't realize that. Thank you. I wish I had about Adidas.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Well, speaking of records, we'll end with this. Two questions here. When can you and Daryl make another Run DMC album, number one? And number two, how do we get in touch with you to do our wedding?
I'll answer two first. I'm not really doing weddings right now, so
okay.
That's quick. I'll make that short and sweet. And I'm just, you know, be happy to do some more shows with D. He only does like 6-7 a year, which, I mean, keeps people anxious to see us. But if I could get him to do some more shows, whatever he wants, I love him to death. He doesn't always like to do shows. I mean, he has his own prerogative. Then maybe we can make some music together one day.
I think a lot of people would be very happy about that. Perry, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I know, Perry. The same question.
Uh-oh.
He just says the same.
Real quick, because we got to run.
He's going to say,
why my name ain't in the book?
Give us the mic. He says the same thing every time.
No, why my name
His
ain't
name
in the
ain't
book.
In the book because it don't need to be in the book,
yes,
Perry.
Yes, it does.
Perry, you will, just to let you know, Perry been with us for 25 years.
That's why my name should have been in the book. Danny's name is in every book. I know that's your brother. But I'm your brother now, right, Danny?
Listen.
Right.
He was on our cooking show, if anybody saw that. He made the turkey wings.
That's right. And Just won't
well,
eat them.
And here's...
Just is scared to eat my turkey wings.
All right.
I bought turkey wings for Thanksgiving. They was good, right?
They were falling off the bone. Right.
All right. Before we go to our book signing, and thank you, Perry, just a reminder that this is, in fact, a book about love, about marriage, about old school principles, and there's a reason that they still work. But lots of great advice for couples, and really for individuals as well in the book. We certainly hope that you'll enjoy it. The book sign will follow in just a moment, but please join me in thanking Rev Run and Justine for being with us today.
Thanks, guys. Thank you, guys, for coming.
Danny,
we love
you. I'm going to take you home right now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Free Library of Great Conversations. If you live in Philadelphia or are planning a visit and would like to attend an author event, information on the series is available at freelibrary.org/authorevents.